Y'all doing? Excellent. All right. That's good. So guys, I'm gonna be tackling, by God's grace, a few Sundays ago, I preached a sermon called What Are You Looking At? And we're gonna stay kind of right in that theme. I was praying this week about, do we move on or, preach something else? And I really felt to stay in it and didn't get really a firm word about specifically what to preach about till Everly has been up at 3 o'clock in the morning every single day this week. Praise God. By the way, I don't know if y'all seen her without anything on her arm. I think a lot of you saw it on Facebook, but she broke her arm. This Tuesday will be 2 weeks ago. Did a backflip off of the swings in the backyard. Just let go. I'm like, man, this kid's going to be a blessing. Praise God. And broke, like I have, if you guys saw it on Facebook, there's a picture of the x-ray. I mean, it's her arm up here broke pretty good. Not all the way through, but a pretty good fracture in her arm. And in the hospital a couple Tuesdays ago at UConn, I just really felt such a peace about it. Like, I wasn't worried at all. Even when he showed me the x-ray, like, it's almost like I knew it, you know. But I just was like, it's no big deal. Like, it's all good. God's going to take care of this. I wasn't like, laying hands on her, casting a demon out. I just was so confident that God is going to do something with it. Amen. And so even literally the doctor's like, give her Tylenol, give her ibuprofen. We hardly gave her anything, right? She was hardly anything. I mean, I've broken stuff in my life, and I'm a baby, man. When I break something, like, give me some drugs. Man, give me something. Right? This kid hardly made a peep. We took her to the doctor this week, and the guy takes the thing off, and he's like, he comes back in, and he's like, we're just going to put her in a sling. She'll be good to go. Church, that day, she was outside, and I'm watching her, and she's picking stuff up, and with her, 9 days off of a broken arm, like with her bad arm, right? Want to go to the pool? Yay! Go swimming in the pool. Like, I'm like, this. The only thing is, if you ask her for arm hurt, she, oh, yes, it hurts so. Look at that, you're milking that one all day, girl. So, amen. I just want to encourage you, church. You know, there are other times we need to shout something, amen, and go to town. But sometimes God just says, just be still. Just be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Just relax. Amen. It's all good. I got you. Amen. So a little bit of review, just quickly. Again, 3 weeks ago, I preached on What Are You Looking At? Right? I thought that was a pretty good one. If you didn't listen to it or need to hear it again, check it out. 2 weeks ago was about perception. If you guys remember that, right? How you perceive what you receive will frame out what you believe, right? Stuff's coming at you. No matter what you do, there's going to be stuff going to come at you. It's how I perceive it, right? Can I see God in it? Amen? David, last Sunday, preached about lids, losses, and leftovers. If you have not heard that one, it's a pretty good one as well. And I really like the last 2 points he made was, we're all going to suffer loss. Not one amen on that one. We're so scared to say an amen to that, right? We're going to suffer loss, man. You're going to lose stuff. How many of you lost stuff in your life? That's everybody. You got to raise your hand. Right? Relationships happen, job. I mean, it can be anything, right? It could be anything that you lose. And David's real point on that particular topic was this, church. The greatest loss that mankind can suffer is separation from God. And because Jesus suffered that for us, we don't have to worry about that one. Right? So let's face it, the thing that we as humans are most afraid of is dying, right? Because we, I don't want to die, right? But if Jesus took the sting of death, right, which the sting of death is a separation from God, right? Look at church. The bottom line is if we're walking with Jesus, I don't want to die, okay? But when I do die, Paul says it's better that I'm gone. Boom. I'm absent with the body, present with the Lord. Man, I'm out of here, right? Hopefully some of you will miss me when I'm gone, right? But man, I'm good. Can I get amen, right? And then David, what he said is he said, as humans, what we do, church, is we look at what's lost. We lose something, and man, we fixate on it, and it's painful, and we're upset about it. But he says, look at God wants us to look at what's left. Because whatever's left is what God's going to use. Could you imagine, church, if when we lose something, there's a season, right? We need to grieve because we're not robots. Can I get amen? But that season needs to end. Can I get amen? We need to allow the Spirit of God to get in there, help us to grieve, heal our hearts, heal that place that we're hurt and broken, and then realize, okay, I'm still breathing. I'm still standing. I still got a little money in the bank. Ain't much, but there's still a little bit in there, right? I've still got this. What's left is what God's going to use. Amen? So this morning, my sermon, staying right in this, what are you looking at series? My sermon this morning is a declaration called Not Yet. Everybody say, not yet. So look, things, church, are going to happen to us that we have zero control over. Can I get amen? So hopefully none of you are scared yet. It's going to get good. All right? Sometimes, church, stuff's going to happen to you that you have no control over at all. Right? You can fast. You can pray. You can cry. You can do the Irish jig. You can stand on your head juggling chainsaws. But sometimes stuff is coming no matter what you do. Right? So, again, perception. Oh, it's the devil. Well, if that's my perception, guess what my life's going to look like? I'm going to be full of fear, full of anxiety, full of doubt, full of all kinds of stuff. But if I can say, okay, this doesn't look like it's from God, but if I'm a son of God, then it at least came through his hands. He's at least letting it come, right? He didn't prevent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from going into the fire. He says, I'm going to let you go in there. They're like, look, God's going to deliver us from this fire, but even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing down, right? Church, I got a whole sermon stirring in my spirit about that story, man. It's going to be a good one. Amen. The Lord's talking to me about the culture and the prophetic significance of that story, right? But anyway, see, God sometimes, church, sometimes he'll miraculously deliver you before the poop comes. Can I get amen? Before the bad stuff comes, he's going to step in. How many people like when that happens? Amen, right? That's so good. But sometimes, church, he's going to let stuff come. He's going to let you go beyond what you think is impossible. Just so you know that he's God. Yeah? Isn't that good? What if we could see, here's a question, what if we could see what we view as a loss as a lesson? Could you imagine that? If we can get through the grieving, get through the pain, and then say, okay, if that came, I don't want to just go through that and get nothing out of it. Right? Help me, Lord. I want to learn something. Even if it means that I was wrong, okay, if all I got to learn is that I didn't handle that good, then let me learn that. Right? Adjust how I'm handling this stuff. So next time I get in that situation like that, I'm going to handle it better. Right? Can I get amen, church? Today, I'm telling you the truth, yeah. The Lord is still clearly talking about this. If we can get what I'm going to tell you today by God's grace, if you can get this in your spirit, it will shift your life. Anybody believe that? Yeah? So listen, I'm just going to share my heart a little bit. A few of you I've talked to recently, it's some times of encouragement and spending time with you folks. But I've said a few times to some of you that if I look back 8 years now at pastoring this church, and if I made a list of like 10 things I thought were going to happen or would have happened by now, none of those things have happened. And so when I say like, I've never actually made a list, but if I was going to make one, none of those things have happened, right? And I'm not talking about just like good ideas and cool stuff. Like I'm talking stuff that like as I was growing up in the Lord and as I was getting ready to step in and take the church over, like I'm talking dreams, man, like vivid dreams from the Lord. Like, whoa, you wake up, you're like, man, that is like crazy, right? Like when John the Baptist, Elizabeth is his mom, right? When she meets Mary, the Bible says that John jumps in her womb. Right? She knows Mary's pregnant with the Savior. I'm talking that kind of stuff, right? Anybody here have one of those? Like you have a dream or someone gives you a word or some, you read something even in the Bible and you're like, boom, right? Something jumps in you and you're like, yes, that's from God right there. Can I get an amen, church? I'll give you just one example, man. One day I had a dream. I don't have lots of dreams that I remember, but I remember this one, all right? I was dreaming, obviously. But in the dream, I was watching TV and I was watching WTNH Channel 8. So I know it's a dream because I never watch that stuff. I can't stand watching the news. Amen, because it's always bad. All right, but I was watching the news, and on the news, church, was a TNH van in our parking lot right here in this building. The van was there with the satellite up, and this lady, it was a female news reporter, was interviewing me, and she was asking me, what's going on in this church? What's happening? What's happening? And then in the dream, right, the camera pans out, and there are cars all the way down the road on both sides. The parking lots are full, and there's people pouring out of the building. The parking lot's packed full of people. And I realized in this dream, like, it is full-blown revival, man. I mean, the place is, there's people hanging off the ceiling, all right? It is like, and all I say to this lady, she says, what did you do, right? This is the interview. What did you do to produce this? And in the dream, I said, well, ma'am, all we did was pray. We prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed. And this is God's answer. And then she said, two questions. Then she said, well, why is it happening in this church and not the church down the street? And my answer was this, and I knew it was a warning from the Lord. My answer was this: I don't pastor the church down the street. I pastor this one. And I knew when I woke up, boom, I knew it was the Lord saying to me, number one, I'm going to do it. Number two, don't you ever think about comparing yourself to some church down the street. Oh, God did that because we're better than them. No. You did what I told you to do. And this is the answer. Amen, church? So here's what I'm saying. Oh, I've had so many of these kinds of dreams and prophetic words, all this stuff, right? Good stuff, right? And none of these things have happened. But here's the thing. God is saying to me, not yet. Not yet. See what happens, church, when we get a vision, we get a dream from God. How many people, just raise your hand, you've got a dream from God. Just raise your hand. Right? You've had a vision. You've had a word over your life. You know it's God, right? If I was to say to you, like, tell me the truth. Do you know this is God? You're going to say, absolutely, Pastor. I know God spoke to me, all right? See, church, what happens when we get a word from God and then time starts kicking in and that word starts getting delayed and it starts getting pushed off and we've prayed about something. We pray the scriptures, right? We pray the scriptures about our kids. We pray the scriptures about our finances. We pray the scriptures about physical ailments that we go through. We pray the scriptures about relationships that have fallen apart and we're trusting God. But time comes in and delays that answer. And pushes that answer back. You know what happens to us because we're human? Discouragement. We get discouraged. God gives us a word. God gives us a vision, and we think, okay, I know what I got to get there. This is step one. This is step two. This is step three. I need this much money. I need this many people. I need this to happen. I need this thing to line up. This has got to go this way. Okay, God, I can see this. And God says, none of that stuff needs to happen. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Notice he doesn't say many as much as the vision in a man's heart. He's not talking about vision. He's talking about you've already got a vision and now you're making all your plans of how I'm going to get that vision to happen. Church, it's not a rebuking statement. It's a statement of saying, look, do your due diligence, okay, pray and plan, do what you got to do. But look, at the end of the day, make sure your plans are written in pencil. He's like, look, write them on a whiteboard and have the eraser in your other hand, bro. All right? Because that's fine. Have fun, Junior. But look, when it happens, church, because God is going to bring us to a point where it's like, I don't go, oh, man, step three is what really did it for us. Right? He's saying, look, I'm going to let that thing die right in your hands. Then I'm going to bring it back to life. Amen. I'm going to share a word with you. I don't think I've shared this yet. It's like a year and a half ago, the Lord said to me one morning in prayer, he said, son, what is your Isaac? Everybody knows Isaac, right? He's the one that Abraham, he's the promised son, and Abraham ties him on the altar, cocks the knife back, right? The promised son. God tells him, go kill that son. That son I gave you, go kill him. God said to me, what is your Isaac? I was like, yo, I don't know where, I don't like where this is going already. All right, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Anybody have those times of prayer? Lord, I don't want to talk about this anymore. So I took a couple of weeks, prayed about it. And what I realized, it was like the Lord showed me, right? Sometimes God asks you a question and he's not asking you to figure the answer out. He's asking you to be patient enough to receive the answer from him. Yeah? So the Lord said to me after a couple of weeks, I just said, I have no idea what this is, where we're going with this. The Lord said to me, it's River Valley Christian Center, as it's always been. I was like, I really don't like where this is going now. Can I get amen, church? But you know what? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting different results, right? So obviously, it's not talking about prayer. It's not talking about worship. Not talking about giving. That's all stuff we need to continue to do, but it's going, human beings like ruts. We like systems. We do this, and we do this, and we do that, and this is the result. Perfect. I know how that works. But God likes to stir things up. Can I get amen? And we know the story of Isaac. Does God kill Isaac? No. But we're going to get to a scripture in a moment that shows you something that Abraham had in his heart, that if we can get this in our heart, we'll make some progress. Can I get amen? Yeah? Everybody good? So as time creeps in and starts delaying things that we can see, can I get amen, right? What happened to me, church? I was there, man. This doubt creeps in, despair, discouragement, failure, shame, hopelessness. Anybody say amen to that? And let me tell you that when that stuff starts getting some traction in your soul, you're in trouble. We tend to start thinking stuff like this. Was that really God? Did he really call me? Was that dream real? Was that prophetic word true? Is God really good? Is it really worth it? Why am I killing myself chasing after these things I believe are from God? Can I get amen from anybody? Any preaching to anybody this morning, right? And if you guys remember a couple Sundays ago, I said this. The devil is never going to give you something that's impossible. He's only going to try to convince you that it is impossible. See, if somebody says they got a dream from God and then they tell me what the dream is and I'm like, that doesn't seem that hard. Probably not from God, right? If God gives you something, it's going to be impossible, right? You're going to need God to come through. It's going to be like, man, there's no way that's going to happen. Can I get amen, church? Right? God is always going to give you something that's just like, what? I don't even know where to start with that one. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know step one for crying out, let alone how to get over there somewhere, right? That's from God. But then God says, just come with me. Just take it one step at a time. Like just one step at a time. Just do this, do this, do this. The devil's the one chattering in our ears saying, oh, that's never going to work. That's never going to happen. You should just give up. Don't try that stuff. Don't give like that. Don't serve like that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Da, 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 da. Boom, 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 boom. That's never going to turn around. That's never going to work out. That's never going to turn. That's never going to happen. Did over and over and over. We got to start telling them to shut up. Amen. Shut up. Many times, think about this, many times what looks like a no to us is actually a not yet from God. Amen. See, church, if you read your Bible, you'll see that real Christianity, really following God, isn't about like a magic trick, right? Where we say like just the right prayer and like a rabbit pops out of a hat. Can I get amen? Some preachers preach it like that, right? We've got, it's the name and claim it stuff. Can I get amen? But church, you read your Bible, there is always this thing called time between when God speaks and when it manifests itself. Always, right? In due season, the Bible says, God will exalt you if you humble yourself, right? Due season. There's always some kind of due season between here and there. Can I get amen? And what I'm going to try to get into your spirit today is what happens to us in that season, right? Real Christianity is about the glory of God. It's about heaven invading earth. It's about God finding a people who will not bow down to anything but him. It's about a people who are completely sold out to him, trusting him in every situation and circumstance, trusting him when things are headed the wrong direction, declaring boldly what he said on the mountaintop when we're in the midst of the valley. It's about shifting something inside of us that when people start mocking us and telling us our faith is stupid and asking us where our God is, our answer is something like this: he's coming. Just, church, man, this sounds so simple, but I'm telling you, imagine if every time doubt starts creeping in, we say, God's coming. I don't have this answer, but not yet. Right? Not yet is this statement of faith. It's a faith statement in my heart. Yeah, I'm not there yet, but I'm getting it. Can I get amen? See, when we see a situation or circumstance that seems like it's hanging on by a thread, it seems like it's about to die, it seems like there's just a sliver of hope left, and God seems to be taking a nap or something, good things don't come into our minds in those seasons, church. Can I get amen? God, this thing, man, if you don't do something, this is going to die. And he's up there going, exactly. That's exactly where it's at. That's exactly what I need to have happen. This thing's got to die. That thing's got to end. That thing, because you're hoping in something that's different than the hope that I want you to have. Right? So there's a scripture. I don't have it on my notes, but there's a scripture. It's in Proverbs like 16, and we all know this one. It says that what hope deferred, who can finish it with me? Makes the heart sick, right? What's it talking about? Time, right? So I pray. Come on, if we pray for something, we're hoping that God's going to answer. Is that right? Everybody should have said amen right there, yeah? Obviously, if we don't hope God's listening, we probably aren't praying about nothing. Can I get in, right? If I'm praying about something, that means there's some kind of hope there. Okay, I'm talking to God about this, and I'm hoping that he's listening, he's going to come through, right? Right? So that, but the writer of the Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. As hope gets drawn out, hope gets distanced farther and farther away from us, my heart becomes sick, right? My heart becomes downcast. I become depressed. I become discouraged. God, why haven't you come through yet? Amen? But the scripture we're going to finish with, I'm going to just give you a little bit of a preview on it now. Abraham is described as this. It says, in hope, against hope, he believed. And the Holy Spirit said to me, son, there's two different kinds of hope. There's human hope. I hope I get a new car. I hope I get a new job. I hope I get to go on vacation. I hope I get to, right? But that's not the hope in the Bible. The hope from the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about hope being shed abroad in our heart. Hope from God. That kind of hope grows over time, doesn't get weaker over time. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're hoping for something and time is making that hope dissipate, you've got human hope, not Holy Ghost hope. Can I get amen? Think about it like this, okay? We've all been kids, and most of us have had kids, all right? When kids are hitting, it's dumb now. Kids graduate every single year now, okay, for crying out loud. What do you got to look at to graduate kindergarten? You only know what this is purple. That's all you know in kindergarten. Anyway, you didn't graduate nothing. But when I grew up, all right, church, you hit high school, And you start counting down, okay, in 3 years I'm going to graduate. In 2 years I'm going to graduate. In 1 year I'm going to graduate, right? Can I get amen? There was a hope there that I saw time as time passed. I'm not getting farther away from what I'm hoping for. I'm getting closer to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Kids hit college, the same thing goes on, right? Amen. It's the issue is, church, is that if we are not seeing things properly from the Lord, time is going to make us think that the answer is getting farther away from us rather than I'm getting closer to it. See? If I know that I pray and God hears me and he's going to, if I pray according to his will, he's going to answer me, right? That's what the Bible says. If I believe that, then if I pray about something, if I pray for a sick person and they don't get healed, boom, on the spot, what happens? Oh, God must not have heard me. Oh, my goodness, man. Look, I prayed for you. I laid hands on you according to the word of God. And if you're sick and I laid hands on you as a sick person, you are going to recover. And if there's some time in between when I declared it and when it manifests, my hope is going to get stronger as the time goes on. Not whine more and more because God didn't do anything. Not yet. Not yet. Do you see what I'm saying, church? Is this making sense? What if God, I want to throw some things out for us to ponder. What if God is delaying your answer on purpose? So I was talking to Alex about this the other day, and he was like, well, it's like when you cook chicken. This is God. Everything's about food with that guy, man. You know? So it's funny. We were talking. We were laughing. I said, "Nah, you're right, bro. It's not like cookies, man. Cookies are good if they're gooey in the middle, right? If your chicken's gooey in the middle, you're gonna die." But you know, here's the tricky thing about chicken, man. Chicken. If you cook chicken on the grill, see, we have these little things now. You stick in the chicken. Those are for rookie grillers, man. Stick them in there until okay, it's done. Beep, right? Come on, all the old guys are like, man, just touch it, just poke it, and you can tell if it's done or not, you know, right? Whatever. But anyway, here's the point, church. Chicken can look like it's done and still kill you. Right? Hey, give Alex credit. All right, tell him that was his idea, man. I gave him credit on purpose. All right? I'm not going to plagiarize his stuff. He'd forgive me, but do you understand what I'm saying? Boy, it really sparked something in my heart. God, maybe his delay is on purpose because he's like, you're still a little bit gooey in the middle. Not me anymore. I'm getting firmed up, baby. That's right. But see, church, sometimes we go through stuff, and if we're a little bit raw in the middle still, we're going to respond in a way that we should not. Right? He says, man, you got to cook a little bit more. Make sure you're nice and juicy all the way through. Is that good? What if God is delaying the answer on purpose? Me and Kaz were talking on Wednesday, and we were talking about the church and some of the stuff I shared a little bit earlier in the sermon. And this is what Kaz says to me. I go, bro, it's totally good, man. He says, you know what, Pastor? Maybe all the things God has shown you, if he had given those things to you 8 years ago, it would have destroyed you. I said, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, back going through it, if I heard that a couple years ago, I'd have punched him in the, laid hands on him or something. You're a jerk. I don't like you. Right? But I've come through it, church, and I'm realizing, okay, God, I'm all right with this. Because I know it's coming. Do you see what I'm saying, church? If we could shift that thought of, where are you, God, to, I know you're coming. Every day, is this the day, right? Is this the day? And if it's not that day, then we don't go to bed going, oh, okay, is tomorrow the day, right? Could you imagine, church, if every single day that God didn't answer that prayer we threw up to him, that every step, every time we wake up, there's a little bit more hope in there, not less hope, right? There's, okay, I'm closer than I was yesterday. You guys are getting it. Praise God. What if the answer came the second you asked, but the answer to your prayer was so profound that there was a battle in the heavens between God's lips and your heart? Like Daniel. Why did it took, was it 30 days? Right? I didn't look it up. Is it 30 days it took for that answer to come, right? 21, okay, 21. I was close. Can I get amen? What's Daniel say? Why did it take so long? He asked Gabriel. Is it Gabriel, right? That's the angel. Sorry, I didn't look it up, church. Right? But he asked the angel, why did it take 21 days? The angel says, no, the Lord answered you the moment you prayed. But there was a battle in the heavens between the throne room of God and your heart. Could you imagine her saying, man, maybe there's a delay in this answer because it's so powerful that the forces of hell are trying to resist this thing getting to me. Boy, that shifts the way you look at waiting, doesn't it? And what's my job for 21 days or 21 weeks or 21 months or 21 years for crying out loud? You know what my job is? God, I believe that answer's coming. Bring it, God. I know it's coming, right? No matter what the devil tries to tell me or people try to tell me or circumstances try to tell me, God is coming. What if God's delay in answering you is to show you more of his power? What if God is delaying the answer to your prayer to show non-believers who he is? Could you imagine that? See, church, you know what happens? Take Maddie, or take Everly's broken arm thing, right? And see, what the doctor says to us the other day, he says, you know what, we're going to put her in a sling because kids this age, they heal real fast. She'll be good in a couple weeks, perfectly fine. Okay, now, so unfortunately, there wasn't this miraculous pow, you know, she just rips the cast off like you know, like a superhero or something, right? There's been this gradual healing, which I still think is miraculous. I broke stuff, was in a cast for 6 months, okay, when I break stuff when I was a kid, man. Can I get amen, right? 10 days, this kid's using her broken arm, for crying out loud. Like, not complaining at all, like playing in her sandbox with it or whatever. Can I get amen? But see, in the world, people could look at that and go, well, yeah, but da-da-da-da-da. How many of us have ever shared a testimony that God had did something to someone who doesn't know the Lord and they go, yeah, but, right? They can somehow justify it, right? Think about the 10 plagues in Egypt. Just hear this, church, all right? The Lord gave me this real early this morning. And of course, I'm going to mess up the order of these plagues or whatever, but the Bible teaches this, okay, like the Prince of Egypt movie is actually pretty accurate, okay? When is the first one they turn the water into blood, right? The Bible says that the Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. It wasn't Kool-Aid mixer, everybody. They had some type of evil, dark, supernatural power. They were able to conjure and say some kind of enchanted trick or magic trick or whatever, and they were able to duplicate this miracle from heaven. Right? I think it's even before the 10 plagues where Moses turns his rod into a serpent, right? Boom. The Bible says that the magicians did the same thing. Boom. But Moses' serpent ate their serpent. God's going, oh, okay, that's cute. I'm going to show you what's up, though. Right? We got the water into blood. There's three or four miracles or plagues that happen, and the Bible says the first three or four the Pharaoh's Egyptians were able to duplicate these plagues. But then God keeps turning the heat up, and all of a sudden they get to a plague, and the magicians go, "Yeah, we're done. We got no more rabbits in the hat. All right. Magic tricks are over. We don't know what to do, right? Church, take the concept there. Hear what I'm saying. Take the concept. Could you imagine if maybe God is delaying, maybe God's turning the heat up a little bit in your life to position you in a place where nobody could duplicate it. Nobody can explain it away. Nobody can say, oh, well, yeah, man, you made some smart financial moves, and that's why that panned out. Anybody could have made those moves. Do you understand what I'm saying? And instead of, I'm telling you, church, God has got me right here, man. Instead of getting freaked out about, man, this doesn't look good at all. God says, what are you looking at? Stop looking at it. Did I tell you to look at that? Or did I tell you to look at me? What am I saying? What did I tell you? Amen, church? Man, I thought I was going to preach this loud and fiery, but it's still got to get in your heart, man. That's what matters. Amen. Some of us, we already raised our hands, but some of us, hopefully all of us can say that we've seen God come through before, right? We've seen him answer in a way that was pretty much impossible to us, and then it was just like, boom, I mean, boom, he just shows up, and we're like, whoa, yes, that was awesome, you know, right? I've told this story many times, but some of you are new, right? When I came on staff at the church, we had one car. I didn't have enough money to buy a car, and one day I was frustrated with God and like thinking, okay, I stepped out of faith here. Where's the provision? All this stuff, right? You know, all this crazy, you know, all the stuff that everybody tells us is going to happen. So one day I wasn't praying. I was angry. And the prayer in my head, I never even said it out loud, was if it came out loud, would have sounded like this. $5,000 would really help out right now. That was it. Okay, I didn't have enough guts to actually say that out loud like that. But the Bible says God knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. So as soon as I thought that one, I was like, ooh, I should hide. It was so irreverent, church. It was not like, oh, Lord, you're lovely and you're beautiful and, you know, $5,000 would help. I was angry. Church, I never said it. I never said it. The words never came out of my mouth. In 3 days, I get a phone call from a friend in our church at the time. Said, hey, man, I was praying for you, and God told me to give you $5,000. I was like, yo, I should ask for 10, bro. For sure. Right? Something. But you know what, church, you know what it was? It was just such a raw, it was such a raw cry from my heart, right? And God's like, I like that. I like raw cries from your heart. So here's my point, right? I can see that, right? I can say, wow, $5,000. Now at the time, I had nothing. I had no money at all. So $5,000 was like $1,000,000 to me. But fast forward 10 years, and I'm believing God to buy a building. And I'm like, boy, that's a lot of money. And God's saying, not to me, it's not. Hey. Church, do you realize that $1,000,000 to God and $5,000 to God is exactly the same thing? It's different to me. Right? I can figure out how to scrape together $5,000 now. Can I get amen? Do you see what I'm saying? But God's saying, look, I'm going to paint you into a corner so when I come through, you'll know it was me, right? No doubt, no questions, amen? Let me tell you one quick story out of the Bible, and then I'm gonna preach a little bit out of Romans 4. If you want to go to Romans 4 while I'm sharing this part of the story, sermon as well. So we all know the story about Jesus and Lazarus, right? In John 11, Lazarus is sick, right? We know that story. And Lazarus is, Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick. The Bible, I read it again through it this morning. It says that, you know, Lazarus, or that Jesus loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They're his friends. He loves them. He's got relationship with them. And he hears word that Lazarus is sick, right? And so Jesus turns to his disciples, and he's talking to his disciples about it. He gives them a little bit of basically a parable. And he says, look, Lazarus is asleep. And his disciples say, well, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll surely recover. Right? And if you read, it says it all this right in the story. I hadn't read it in a long time. I forgot all this stuff was in there. It says in there that the disciples thought he was literally just asleep and that he would wake up. That's what they're saying. When if he's sleeping, he's going to wake up, Lord. And Jesus says to them, he's dead. Church, he wasn't dead yet. He wasn't dead right there. We skip that part of the story, don't we? We get to the cool part. But Jesus, Lazarus is still sick right there, but Jesus says he's dead. Yo. Then the Bible says he waits two more days before he goes, right? We know this story, right? He's coming. Mary comes and meets him. Lord, if you were here, our brother would certainly have not died and all this stuff. And here's where we get excited. We preach this way, and it's real good. See, Mary knew, she had enough faith to know that Jesus can heal sick folks. But Jesus is going, I can do more than that. And he waited on purpose, because he says, I know your faith is here, but I need your faith here. Jesus let this guy die because, he says, in that scripture, it says that the glory of God would be revealed, right? I'm going to let him die so that you can see the glory of God. What? Oh, Lord, don't let this die. He goes, how much glory you want to see? I got enough glory to fix that problem, or I got some glory to raise it from the dead. Which one you want? Oh, that's scary, ain't it, church? I don't want this to die. Amen? And let me tell you this. We know that there's the shortest scripture in the Bible in a story, right? What it is? Say it with me. Jesus wept, right? And as I was reading through it this morning, the Lord said to me, son, you got to understand, we think Jesus wept because he was sad Lazarus was dead. I don't think so, because he knew, like, I know what I'm going to do, right? Sometimes people have said, well, Jesus was crying because nobody had any faith. I don't think that's what's wrong there either. I think that Jesus was weeping because of compassion. Have you ever been in a situation where people are going through a hard time and it really doesn't affect you at all? Like, you can see it clear. You can say, like, bro, I've been through that. God's going to save you. You're going to be fine. Can I get amen, church? But when you get into a situation with them and you see them broken and you see them discouraged and you see them down and you see them weeping about something, something stirs in your heart and you say, man, I'm going to weep with you. I'm going to show you that I understand what you're going through. I know you're going to be all right, but I'm going to connect with you right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think that's what Jesus was doing there. He's saying, look, here, there's so much sadness here. He says, I'm going to identify with this, and then I'm going to heal it. Amen, church? Is that good? Romans chapter 4. Here we go. Almost done. Verse 16, we'll pick it up in verse 16. You should read the whole chapter because it's so good, so much good doctrine and teaching in there. But Romans 4:16 says this, for this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed, everybody say guaranteed, guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God. Now look what it says here, church. Who gives what? Life to the dead and does what? Calls into being that which does not exist. Here's our verse. In hope, against hope, he believed. In hope, against hope, he believed. Do you see what Paul's telling us here, church? Two kinds of hope. Two kinds of hope. There's a human hope that dies over time, and there's hope from heaven that comes to life over time. Do you understand? Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Church, you got to get this. This is so good. He contemplated his own body now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right, what's Paul telling us in verse 19? Paul's saying this. It's all right to examine the deadness of your situation. It's all right to be perfectly aware that there is no way this thing's working out if God doesn't show up. All right? We know the promise. God shows up to Abraham. He's 75 years old. You're going to have a son. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? Abraham tries for 25 years, church, to make a baby. Pretty sure he knows how to do it. All right? But all those years of trying doesn't deter his confidence in what God said. Man, I've been trying this thing for years, 10 years, 20 years, 25 years, and it ain't working. Amen. Abraham's like, I'm as confident as ever that God's going to come through. Amen. You guys ever heard the story of Thomas Edison? I'm almost done. Thomas Edison made a light bulb, right? You heard this story? Anybody never heard this story? The story of Thomas Edison is that he tried 1,000 times to make a light bulb. 1,000 times. And 1,000 times he failed. 1,000 times. And the story goes that when he finally made one that worked, somebody asked him or interviewed him or whatever it was way back then, and they said, why did you keep going after failing so many times? And his answer was, I didn't fail one single time. I just found out 1,000 ways it didn't work. Listen to what he's saying, church. I know this is going to work. I can see it up here. I know it. I know that I can make electricity burn inside a piece of glass. I know I can make it work. I'm going to try this way. Okay, it didn't work. I know it's going to work. Try this way. That didn't work either. I know it's going to work. Do you see what I'm saying? This is faith, man, okay? Okay, maybe God's going to do it now, but he doesn't. Okay, but I'm still going for it. I know God's going to make this work. Can I get amen? Without becoming weak in faith, there's the kicker, man. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body as good as dead. Sarah's womb is dead. Yet, verse 20, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Wow. Can you believe that, church? And if you read the rest of the chapter, because it goes on to say that this whole example, he says, this is not only for Abraham, but also for you. That as you contemplate the deadness of your own body, the deadness of this womb that something's getting birthed through, don't waver in unbelief, but believe that God's going to come through with what he said. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I want to do just a little bit of body ministry time. Amen. Here's what I want you to do, church. I'm gonna join a group as well. Take a few minutes here. We got time. Take a few minutes here and think about something in your heart that you know that God has given it to you. Amen. It could be a promise from the scriptures, it could be a dream, it could be vision. Could be prophetic word, doesn't matter. As long as you know in your heart that it's not just a cute idea that you've come up with, right? But it's something that God has given you. Amen? All good? All right? In your group of like 3 or 4 people or 5 people, not too big, so we don't chew up a lot of time here, but I want you to, as much as you feel comfortable to do so, I want you to take that thing as short as you can make it and just share it with your group. And I want you to just pray Again, it doesn't have to be long, but I want you to pray together for each one of those dreams or visions or words from the Lord and shift that thinking of, well, God hasn't come through to God hasn't come through yet. Not yet. Right? If you've waned, if your faith and your confidence in that thing that you've seen has waned at all, just confess that to your brothers and sisters. Amen. The Bible says if we confess our sin, God's faithful and just to forgive us of it, right? And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? So we're talking about, am I confident in what God has shown me? Do I believe that this thing God has given me is going to happen? Amen? So, Father, we just come right now as we take a few moments here to just minister one to another. Help us, oh God, to be honest with our own hearts if there's something that we have lost sight of, there's something that we've given up on, something that maybe the enemy has just come at us time and time and time and time again and said, man, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way, there's no way. But Father, we're asking this morning, oh God, that you would breathe new life into those dreams that look like they're dead. You'd breathe new life into those hopes that have waned over time. That you would give us the hope that comes from the Spirit of God, not that comes from human effort. That hope that grows over time doesn't wane over time. The hope that gets stronger as we get closer to the promise. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would touch every heart here as we break off and pray together. Touch every heart and bless each one of us, God, with a newfound courage in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.